In Luke chapter number 10 tonight, very familiar passage of Scripture that we have, that we've used a lot of times. We've heard a lot of messages from this passage and the related passages that will be given along the time as we study this. We find here in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38, as we're dealing with these twice called people, that the Lord spoke their name twice, or certain things were said twice, making emphasis. And we read tonight in verse number 38 and down through verse number 42. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Here we have the account, and we know from other places in the Scripture, and we'll be looking at those, some of those places tonight. And the Bible says here in Luke, he says that they came to a certain village. We know that village was the city of Bethany. We read about Bethany very much in the Scripture, and I just want to, just for a moment, turn on this to give you an idea where Bethany is. And we find that you have Jerusalem here, and just a few miles from Jerusalem is the little city of Bethany. And then you have, just south of that, Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. So that's the area that we're dealing with as the Lord came to the city of Bethany and found this family. Of course, we know that Lazarus and Martha and Mary were all interconnected as brothers and sisters, and the Lord loved them very much, and they were in much of His ministry. And the Lord used that little city sometimes as a base of teaching and giving instructions to the people. We find that Martha here is sort of, the Bible says she's troubled about many things. She was serving, but she was not really a servant. She was serving in her ways and what she was doing, but she was concerned that Mary was not doing her part. And so she comes to the Lord and she says, "Lord, dost thou not care?" Now, that's a strange question to be asked the Lord, because we know He cares. He cares for every detail of our life, everything about us. But Martha, the Scripture says she was troubled, and she was cumbered about with some problems in her life. And she was troubled about this much serving. And she came to the Lord and, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she will help me." And so she comes to the Lord and she says, "Lord, I just want her to do her part. I want her to take up her part, and I don't want to do all this work, and I'm cumbered about, and I'm troubled about this." And Jesus said unto her, "One thing is needful, that Mary hath chosen the good part," and He says, "that shall not be taken away from her." As He comes into this little city of Bethany, Jesus uses Bethany, and He is there a number of times in the Scripture. And look over with me to John chapter number 11, and we'll see something about this same family. John chapter 11 and also chapter 12, we'll look at these places. In Bethany, the Lord seems to reveal Himself in different aspects, in different ways. And here in our Scripture, we find, I believe, that Martha was weary and well-doing. The Scripture tells us not to be. The Scripture tells us in Galatians 6:9 and in 2 Thessalonians 3:13 that we're to not be weary in doing well or well-doing. We're to be servants of the Lord that's happy that we can serve Him and can rejoice in Him. But we find when the Lord comes to Bethany, He is he's a teacher, He's a friend, He's a Savior, He's a leader, and He tells them so many things. When you come to chapter 11, of course, we know that there was a certain man who was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So we know this is where they lived, this little city, this little town, just outside of Jerusalem. They lived there. And, of course, we see that we find in John chapter 11, if we were to read the whole, most of the chapter here, you'll find it deals with this, the death of Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus and how that they were troubled, and the Lord certainly was a sympathizing friend to them. And the Scripture says that even those that stood around said, behold, how he loved him. And so we find there was a connection there between Jesus and this family, and he certainly was careful for them. And the Lord, of course, does care about how we serve him. We find that he was a sympathizing friend. Then if you go to chapter number 12, you find again that the Lord there in Bethany, and there's a supper. It says then Jesus six days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made a great supper, and Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus, and then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And so here we find again in that same little town, in that same family's residence, we find that Jesus is there, and they make a supper, and Martha again is serving, and Lazarus is there at the table, and Mary is anointing the feet of the Lord, worshiping him. And so we find this is a representation of the suffering that is going to come to the Lord, and that ointment that was put upon the feet of the Savior was an ointment that represented the death that was to be upon him very, very soon. And so we find him a sympathizing friend. We see him as a suffering Savior. And then in Luke chapter number 24, if you turn over to this one, in Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 49, here we find this little town of Bethany once again mentioned to us, and it's a very important place. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46, then said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to raise from the dead the third day. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye shall be witnesses of these things. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Here's again this little town of Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And we have this account given to us again in the book of Acts. And as they were standing there gazing as the Lord left this ground of earth and is received into heaven, the voice came from heaven, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? Now, this same Jesus, as you've seen go, shall come again in like manner. So this was in that little city that Jesus had done, had these friends and had given so many things to the world. And now, as a spiritual leader, he leads them to Bethany and he departs from them and ascends into glory. And so here tonight, we talk about this family. We talk about Martha. And we see that this is a call for spirituality. She certainly was a busy person. She certainly could not be told and could not be given testimony of her that she did not want to do, because she was always serving. She was always busy. But here in this instance of where we read tonight, we find that she was troubled with her busyness. She was troubled with her service. She was troubled with those things that she felt like she was doing and no one was helping her. I believe one of the things that we as a child of God ought to realize, it doesn't matter who's doing the work, as long as I'm doing what God tells me to do. It doesn't matter how many other people are doing in my surrounding, but it does matter what I'm doing for the Lord, and their non-activity should not bother my activity. And so Martha was troubled because Mary wasn't, in her mind, doing what she ought to have done. And we find that the Lord shows her and gives her some instruction. The first thing I want us to think about and what we've been dealing with really is called, I want to call it the emptiness in service. Sometimes we can be so empty in our service to the Lord. Sometimes we do what we do just because we know that somebody expects us to do what we do. We come to church because I don't want somebody calling me and asking me if there's something wrong. I don't want to have the inquiries as to why I wasn't at church this morning, when many times and most times when people do that, they're just concerned about maybe something being wrong. But here we find that Martha was empty in her service. She was doing and she was active and she was busy, but she had a wrong spirit about it. The Scripture says in verse number 41, the Lord says, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." It wasn't just this. There were some other things in the life of Martha, and Jesus knew exactly what they were. And by the way, tonight, it doesn't matter what's in our life. It doesn't matter what bothers us and what troubles us. We can be assured that the Lord knows those many things. He knows what troubles our heart and troubles our life. He knows if we're serving Him because we have a desire to do that, or if we're going through the motions of service, and He knows our heart is either right or wrong. And the cause of her distraction here in verse number 40 was that she was cumbered. She was just burdened down by the things that she was having to do, and she felt as though her sister should have been helping more than she was. And the Lord says you're careful and you're troubled about many things, and there's a distraction here in her life, and she's cumbered about and troubled in her spirit and troubled in her heart, and her service was just empty. I can identify with that. I'm sure most of us tonight can identify with having empty service, that we sometimes are not what we should be for the Lord, and sometimes we do things out of habit, out of routine. Sometimes we do things because somebody expects us to do it. You know, this tonight, all that the Lord has done for us, we should serve Him because we love Him. If nobody else is doing anything, that should not affect my service to my God. If all my family is not serving the Lord, then I should serve the Lord. If my friends are not serving God, then I still should serve the Lord. I should not let those things burden me or cumber me as Martha did. And she was cumbered about with much service. And so here we find that there is a call given to Martha's dedication. It says in verse 42, "But one thing is needful." The Lord said, "Martha, you need, there's something in your life that is needed. There's one thing that you need, and Mary hath chosen that." And you know what that was? That was to serve the Lord because you love Him. And He says, you have burdens, you have problems, you have troubles. But He said, one thing is needful, Martha. And Mary has found that one thing, and it's not going to be taken from her. And so this one thing is so very important. You know, sometimes it's just one thing. It may not be a lot of things. It may not be an abundance. Sometimes it's just one thing that we need to get straightened up in our life to help us, for that we can serve the Lord and have joy. Now, we go through the motions of serving the Lord, but if we're not doing it for the right motivation and the right way, we don't have joy in that. It becomes a struggle. It becomes a burden. And we ought not to serve the Lord with a burden. It ought not to trouble us to do right and to do good. And it shouldn't give us a being cumbered about as Martha was. She was going through the motions and she was doing what needed to be done because she had to. And the Lord said, "Martha, you need one thing." And Mary has found that, and He said, "I'm not going to take it from her." Well, this one thing, it's an interesting little statement. I read in John chapter 9, verse 25, about a man that had been blind, and he sees, and he says, "This one thing I know." He said, I may not know a lot of things, but I know one thing, because I was blind, now I see. And so he had that one thing in his life. He tells Martha, there's one thing that is needful. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And so there's some things that sometimes it's not a lot of things. Sometimes it's not a multitude of things that we need. Sometimes it's just one thing. Sometimes it's just one particular thing that is keeping us from the joy of serving the Lord, the joy of being a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is. Just think about it. The Lord has saved us. He's given us eternal life, as we preached on this morning. He has given us all the joys of heaven. And He just wants us to be a servant. He just wants us to serve Him. He doesn't demand a lot of things. He doesn't demand abundance of things. He just wants us to be a servant. And Martha was serving, but her service was empty. And therefore, I believe empty service becomes void service. I believe it becomes something that is not effective, and it doesn't help those around. It certainly doesn't help the one doing it. And if you're not careful, you'll be in the same condition as Martha was. And she's ill at her sister. She's troubled at Mary because Mary is sitting at the feet of the Lord. She is there because Mary is not doing. And she said, Lord, my master hath left me to serve alone. And and what Mary was doing, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His Word. Which would be best to do? Oh, I tell you what, I'd like to sit at the feet of the Lord, but I also would like to serve the Lord. Which one's the best? I don't think you can say one's better than the other or one's more important, but you have to have the right spirit for both of them to work together. To sit at the feet of the Lord, to hear the words of Jesus Christ. Nobody has ever heard the audible voice of the Lord, despite what some people say. They have not heard His voice. We feel His intentions. We feel His movement in our heart, but we haven't heard the audible voice of the Lord. So we don't know what He sounded like or what type of voice He had, but I know one thing, it was a voice of authority. It was a voice that told people how to live and how to survive. And it was a voice that told them how to enter into heaven and to have the joys of the Lord. And Mary was there sitting at His feet listening to the voice of the Son of God and trying to bring it all into herself. And here Martha is, and her serving is so empty. It's so empty and void in her life because Mary's not doing what I want her to do. Mary's not doing what I need for her to do. Oh, but Jesus said she's doing what she needed to do. And I believe if we sit at the feet of the Lord, our service will be much better. If we sit at His feet and learn of the Lord and get in His Word and study the Scripture, I believe our service will not be an empty service, but it'll be a service of serving and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I haven't apprehended, but I do this one thing. Forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth in those things which are before. Paul says, I forgot what's in the past. I'm reaching, grabbing forward to those things that's yet in the future. And you and I this afternoon, if we have life, if we have breath, we can be servants of God and we can be sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and we can have a fullness of life and a fullness of joy because He is in the rightful place and we also are in the rightful place serving Him and listening to Him. So in these verses tonight, it tells us first of all the emptiness in service without being dedicated unto Him. Now, verse number 42. Here we find the Lord tells her, Mary hath chosen the good part. Now, first of all, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about many things. There's that emptiness. But now we have an example of spirituality. You have an emptiness of service. Now we have an example of spirituality, and we find that in Mary. Mary hath chosen the good part. What was that? Well, she was listening to the Lord. She was listening to the Son of God speak and to teach and to tell all the good things that God has given unto her. And the Bible says that she had called, her sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard His word. Oh, what a wonderful thing to hear the Word. I'm glad tonight I can still hear His Word. I may not have His voice. I may not have the ability to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I can hear His Word through His Word. I can read the message that God has left behind for us, and we can have the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ that were given. And many times people will have that the red letter edition of the Bible that picks out and shows you all the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can look at them and we can read those words. And may God help us to be listening to the Savior. May the Lord help us to be like Mary and choose the good part. That's the best part. And by doing that, the Lord said He was going to bless her. Mary was, Mary was learning in the midst of even her sorrow. Look over, let's turn back to John chapter 11. Even in the midst of her sorrow, Mary was learning. John chapter 11, verse number 32. Now you remember, Martha has said, "Lord, if You'd have been here, he'd have not died." And the Lord says, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said, "I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection." So Martha and Mary both had some spiritual understanding. But here in verse number 32 of John chapter 11, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw Him. She fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have they laid Him? And they said unto Him, Lord, come and see. And there, verse 35, Jesus wept." Here the compassion and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ was shown abundantly upon this family, and Mary was learning even in the midst of her sorrow that Jesus cared. She said, "Lord," and they both said, "Lord, if You'd have been here." Oh, but we need to understand tonight the Lord is here. And He may have not been with them physically, but He knew exactly what was happening in their life, and He delayed His coming so that the God of heaven, His Father, might be glorified. And so when He gets there, there's no doubt in the minds of the people that Lazarus has died. He hadn't passed out. He hadn't swooned away. He's dead. And they said, "Lord, he's been dead already 4 days, and his body is deteriorating, and the decomposition has taken place. And Lord, he will stink. He's dead." Oh, but thank God, Jesus is the Lord of death. He's the resurrection. He's the life. And Martha and Mary. And Mary said, "Lord," she worshiped, she was weeping, and she said, "Lord, if You'd just been here." Oh, thank God tonight she learned that He was there. He was there for their help. He was there in the midst of their sorrow. And the Bible says Jesus wept, and the Jews said, "Behold, how He loved Him." Verse number 37, "And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died?" Sure He could have. The Lord could have done anything He desired to do. "Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave." It was a hole in the ground. It wasn't a cemetery grave like we have. It was a cave, and there's a rock up against it. That was the way they buried. That's the way they buried the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a stone in front of the tomb. So they give Him all the details. Jesus says in verse number 39, "Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto the Lord, He's been 4 days dead, he stinketh. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I know that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe and that Thou hast sent Me. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, he says, the reason I'm saying all this is because these unbelievers around here, they need to see it. You and I tonight, the reason we do what we do sometimes is because the unbelievers need to see the grace of God. They need to see God working in our heart and our life. And so here Mary and Martha are at the tomb, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes. Somebody said, how did he get out of there? He was bound hand and foot. I don't know how he got there, but he got there. And I sort of think he just appeared. There he is. And there he is, bound hand and foot. Now, probably some of those unbelievers over there probably already passed out now. Because here's the dead moving out. And they come. He comes to the Lord. And Jesus says, the dead, he bound hand and foot. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. What a victorious statement that is. Loose him, let him go. I'm telling you, one day I was bound hand and foot, head, soul, heart, and spirit one day. By the old grave clothes of life and the grave clothes of sin and Satan. But thank God Jesus said, come forth. Thank God for salvation, what he's done for us. And so here we find this Mary was learning, even in her sorrow, that Jesus had power even over death. Why, she's already had the good thing. She's already chosen the good thing. And Martha was troubled about that. In chapter 12, verse 3, we find, as I read a while ago, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What a loving sacrifice that Mary made to her Savior. She took something that was very costly, something that Judas, he was the one that held the bag. He was interested in the money. He was interested in what he could. The Bible said he was a thief. And so he realized that what Mary had done was taking out of his pocket, because he could have found ways of making some progress with that. And so he's upset about it and said, oh, we could have sold it. You know what Mary's done? She's chosen the good thing again. She's chosen the right thing again. And here we find that Martha is cumbered, but Mary is learning. And the service of God is to her. And we find that this good part is an encouragement to surrender. Go back there to our text in Luke. In Luke chapter number 10. verse number 42. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. Martha, Martha. It's almost like you could say it in a way of disbelief. Martha, Martha, can't you understand what's taking place? Here we find, in this particular time, we find this is a call to spirituality. Martha, you need to be like your sister. Martha, you need to understand that it's not all in the activity of service. There are some things we've got to do that is being obedient to the Lord. And here is an encouragement to all of us. What she did, the good part, was, and the Lord said, it's not going to be taken away from her. Oh, there's some things you and I have tonight that will never be taken away from us. I preached on that this morning. Our salvation will never be taken away from us. I preached this morning on really the doctrine, what we call the doctrine of the security of the believer. But not one time did I use that word, and I did that intentionally, because you don't find that term in the Scripture, but you do find eternal life. Buddy, there's nothing better than eternal life, and that will never be removed from us. The Lord told Martha, Mary has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken away. It will not be removed. There's some things that we have tonight that will never be removed from us. One is our salvation. One is our worship of the Lord. We can worship the Lord anywhere we are. Somebody says, what time is your worship service? I know what they mean. what time you have your preaching service. But worship service is any time we get alone with God and we meditate upon His Word. It can be up by our bedside. It can be in our bed while we're resting and getting ready for the for the night's rest. It can be with someone and having a service together, just adoring the Lord. Nobody can take that away from you, because that's the relationship that we have with the Lord. Our worship, we sit at Jesus' feet. We learn at His feet. Not only that, there's some other things that will never be taken away from us. Not only the worship of the Lord, but the Word of the Lord. It's forever settled in heaven. Now, it's pretty unsettled on this side of heaven, but it's settled over there. And we have the Scripture tonight that gives to us His Word. And the Bible says time and time again, they heard His Word. Every time I open this book, I hear His Word. Every time I open this book, I hear the Word of the Lord. And then another thing that cannot ever be taken from us are the true works of God that is given. And here, Mary chose the best thing, the good part. And He says, this will never be taken away from her. So Martha, Martha, just get to understanding there's more to this thing of serving God than just the activity of service. There's more to being a Christian than just going to church. There's more to being a Christian than just doing what everybody expects us to do. Because if we live that way, we'll get burnt out and we'll get weary in well-doing and we'll faint and reap not. So Martha, Martha, you need to understand there's more to life than activity. You better get to where you can sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and learn of Him. And when we do that, then our activity is much more enjoyable. I've heard people say, well, I guess I have to go to church. Some people say it and don't do it. Well, I guess I have to go. No, you don't have to. Then I've heard some folks say, well, I sure will be glad when Sunday comes again. I don't know about you. I sort of live for Sunday. I mean, you expect that. I sort of enjoy Sunday morning, and I enjoy Sunday. I enjoy the Lord's day. The whole day is His day. It's not just in here at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever time. This whole day is His day. He has designated as the Lord's day. And so we need to learn to serve Him, but serve Him with a joy because of the unspeakable love that He has given to us and the love that He's bestowed upon us. And we ought to say, oh, I'm glad I get to go to church today. There's a lot of people that would be here tonight or in another church or so. We may know some folks that would be in church tonight if they could. If they could. Now, I know a lot of folks that would be in church tonight if they should. But there's some that would come if they could. Health is broken. And they can't. Problems have arose and they can't. There's been tragedy in the family. There's been sickness. There's been death. And they can't. But they would if they could. And they would serve the Lord happily and joyously, not being cumbered. I'd rather have a few happy Christians as a whole lot of cumbered Christians. I've been cumbered. I know what that is. I know how that feels. I know how that reacts. We've all been there. What a joy it is to serve the Lord because we love Him. What a joy it is to serve the Lord because we know He first loved us. And He gave His life that we might live for Him. So Martha, Martha, you need to understand there's more to this thing of serving than just being cumbered. There's more to this thing of being a servant of God, of doing things. Sometimes it's needed just this one thing. You need just one thing, Martha. You need to slow down a little bit. You need to look around, see what's taking place, and check your heart and know things are not right. Look at your sister Mary, Martha. She has chosen the best. She's chosen that good part. Where is she? She's sitting at the feet of the Lord. She's gaining knowledge. She's gaining understanding. And she's gaining some things that would maybe help her and sustain her through sorrow of life. Sometimes folks have a real problem. As long as things are going good, they're on top of the mountain. I got news for you. Things don't go good all the time. Some things just not the way it ought to be. Sometimes problems arise. Sometimes difficulty. Sometimes a bill will come up. Sometimes a heartache will take place. Sometimes an unexpected tragedy. Well, I'm glad, thank God, when that happens, if you have sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be cumbered. If you've sat at His feet and learn of Him, and Jesus said, learn of Me. If we would do that, then the tragic days, and they do come, before we raise our head in the morning, I may get a phone call. Oh, I hate for my phone to ring 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, because it's never, never good. Nobody calls you at 3 o'clock and says, how you doing, preacher? If they did, they wouldn't be good next time I saw them. But nobody calls you at 2 o'clock in the morning or at midnight. Now, I'm usually up around 11:30, 12, and that doesn't bother me. But when I hear the phone ring at that hour, I know there's nothing good when I pick it up. I remember getting phone calls time and time and time again. Not a good message on the other side. I remember that night that Brother Ronnie Cardwell left this world. He had led the music here on Wednesday night and sang special. And, I mean, he had just like always. And I got that phone call in the middle of the night. And I said, Ronnie's had a heart attack and we think he's gone. That'll get you awake. That'll get your attention. And before the dawning of the new day tomorrow, we may get a phone call like that. Anybody could do that. How do we handle it? It's because we sit at the feet of the Lord. Because we know He is the resurrection and the life. Because we are not cumbered with all the things. But we've learned how to take that good thing. Martha, Martha, it will not be taken from her. She's chosen the good thing. She's chosen the good part. And don't you dare think I'm going to take it away from her and get her in the same condition you're in. Martha had some spiritual problems. And Mary is that example of spirituality. Mary is that example of that one that knew how to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. So Martha had an emptiness in service. Mary is an example of spirituality. And the Lord talks about her surrender. And that's an encouragement to you and I. We can serve the Lord. We can be happy. We can be joyous. Even when problems arise, we can have the joy of the Lord in our heart. Martha, Martha. The Lord spoke her name twice to get her attention. And I believe He did. And He said, Martha, I know. Martha said, I know He's going to raise in the resurrection. I understand that, Lord. But Jesus said, oh, but I'm the resurrection. And He's going to prove that and show her there at the tomb of her brother Lazarus. Great story, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Good family. Just lived a few miles from Jerusalem there in Bethany. And the Lord did many things there. And most of it was connected with this good family. Could Jesus come in our home and have that kind of relationship with us? I hope so. May God help us to have that relationship with the Lord. But may He never say our name and say, they're doing better than you are. So we learn to worship and serve at the feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.